Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We're hoping against hope. We're very, very certainly going to be talking to Joel Skousen, although of right now we seem to be getting an answering machine. But of course, we're hoping that Joel Skousen will be coming on, and we'll be have him to go over the world affairs brief issues. But there's really so many things that are happening today. And so until Joel gets there, why, we'll be glad to take your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, you know, of course, we have another 4 years of the Bush administration, and I think that this is pretty well what the establishment wants. Why do I say that? Why, very simply because the controlled media never once during the election or leading up to the election mentioned the candidacy of either Michael Perutka or the Libertarian candidate. Why? Because that would have pulled votes away from Bush and would have helped Kerry. Now, they kept talking about Ralph Nader ad nauseum, and mentioned, of course, that he was on the ballot in 34 states and the District of Columbia. Well, of course, the other two candidates, the truly conservative candidates, were on the ballot, of course, in over 40 states, and they could have won the election. Ralph Nader wouldn't have had enough electoral votes to have won the election. And, of course, the media knew that, the people who control the media, but they did not want to pull votes away from Bush. They wanted to pull them away from Kerry. So the things turned out exactly as the ruling elite want. Now, why do they want Bush in? Well, they want to continue the war, and of course they want to get us involved with a war with Iran and probably with North Korea. And of course they want, of course, this to result in a major attack on America, whether it'll be chemical or biological or nuclear or all three, I don't know. Whether it will involve Russia or China, I don't know, but I'm firmly convinced that not only are our leaders planning on getting a major strike back at this country, because they know very well that by antagonizing the Muslim world, sooner or later there's going to be another major attack on this country. But also, of course, I'm also firmly convinced that God is going to bring judgment on this country. So we can look at this from a geopolitical point of view as we see the unfolding events and this small little clique that control President Bush. And President Bush is totally controlled. I don't know how many of you saw that. A picture, it appeared in the New York Times during one of the debates when they took a picture from behind, and you can see the receiving box that he was wearing that had a wire someplace so that he could get the answer to the questions he was being asked. There was no question, he had a little box right between his shoulder blades, because he really cannot do the interviews. When it comes to a free and open debate or discussion, he can't do it without a prepared script, or he'll just say something ridiculous. And so the reason he did so well in the last debate was they were feeding him the answers. They were telling him exactly what to say. So he's not the one who's planning on the war with Iran, and maybe he doesn't even know what he's supposed to do. Oh, but he is being manipulated. He's controlled by Dick Cheney, who is really the major force, one of the members, original members of the Project for the New American Century. That's the Project for the New American Century. And if you get into the background of their plan, they have an entirely different plan for America. And I'm deeply concerned, of course, that when that plan is done, America will never be the same again. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish
concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And, of course, our guest today will hopefully be Joel Skousen, who is the editor of World Affairs Brief. And Joel does a wonderful job of analyzing what's going on in the world and, of course, giving his interpretation of what's happening. If you do not go to worldaffairsbrief.com to start your day, that's worldaffairsbrief.com, and read the various articles, at least the summary of the articles, and many of those articles you want to pick up to really find out what's happening. Because if you depend upon Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw, you're getting what the establishment wants you to get. The conservative and the liberal sides, and neither side is telling you the truth. Well, Joel, tell us how you're interpreting what's happening now. The election's over. Where are we going from here?
Well, we can talk, there's quite a bit about the election in this week's World Affairs Brief, which just came out. As you mentioned, on worldaffairsbrief.com, you can see the summaries of the raw news stories that my researchers post, and I do an analysis of the news every Friday, and so we're working off that present analysis, covering analysis of the Bush victory. But I wanted to comment on something you just said, which was very interesting. You mentioned Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly, along with Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw. And, you know, conservatives generally think that Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly are on their side of the fence, and that and the others that are on the liberal establishment. But, in fact, you were quite correct. They are on the same side of the fence. Only one is pretending to be conservative, Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, but in fact they work for the establishment, and they make sure that nothing but the pro-Bush conservative view.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, and right now with us is Joel Skousen, and he's commenting that certainly if you listen to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, you think you're getting the conservative point of view, but you're really not. You're getting certainly the Bush apologists, and the truth of the matter is George W. Bush is the biggest spender we've ever had in the White House. He has done more to expand the government than any other, even Ted Kennedy could ever possibly have done, and of course he's led us into a no-win war, which is going to have disastrous effects. So pick up the story from there, Joel.
Well, you know, never before has an election such as the one we just went through polarized the American people as much as this one, and the bitterness and distrust of the Bush administration by the 49% that voted for Kerry, frankly, is not going to go away, despite President Bush's call for peace and unity and making an appeal to those that worked or voted for Kerry to work with him. He's claiming to have a political mandate from the people, and I hardly think that's appropriate when you have a bare majority, which I can demonstrate from this week's World Affairs Brief was manipulated through a voter fraud. In other words, if it weren't for the Ralph Nader candidacy, which the establishment promoted, and the tweaking of up to 5% in certain key battleground states, President Bush would not have won this election. There was significant dissatisfaction with the Bush administration, but we have another 4 years here, and frankly, there's very little difference between the positions of the both major political parties. They're both, as you mentioned, socialist, both globalist in orientation. They would argue about how you approach your allies. You know, Kerry would have said he'd done something different in the war in Iraq, but we know that he wouldn't any more than Bush didn't do anything different than Bill Clinton when he got into office. In fact, he refused to prosecute Clinton or reverse any of the executive orders. or the major disastrous and illegal, not illegal, but unethical pardons that Clinton made during his administration.
Well, I agree with you totally, and I think it's people, you know, if the Christian population would even look at the Judge Roy Moore, I mean, every conservative Christian is solidly behind Judge Roy Moore, except that the man who destroyed Judge Roy Moore was a man named William Pryor. He was rewarded by the Bush administration by giving him an interim appointment to the federal bench, which, of course, was recently confirmed. Why would they reward the man who destroyed the hero of the conservative Christians? The conservative Christians never asked that question because because Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and, of course, Bill O'Reilly never tell them what really happened.
Well, the interesting thing about the Bill Pryor, reward is that Bill Pryor was a very, very staunch conservative. Prior to this, he actually turned the corner, just like Rush Limbaugh made a severe turn to the left when he decided to go big time and took the big money in the radio station, started to denigrate anyone who believed there was any evidence for conspiracy. And so Bill Pryor, as soon as he turned against Roy Moore, ceased to become a conservative. Same thing happened with Congressman Dreyer of California. He used to be a very staunch conservative. Find out now that he's, according to various publications in the gay community, he's been outed as a homosexual.
Did he win his reelection or not?
Yes, uh-huh.
He did get reelected. That's a shame.
Yeah. But in any case, I knew that something was wrong whenever someone who was on the staunch conservative side turns into a rabid Bush Republican. He's obviously on the take in some way or being protected in some way. Now, there's some other ramifications, of course, of this election. Hillary Clinton has, powerful motives to and ambitions to become president. A victory for Kerry, of course, would have derailed her presidential ambitions for another 4 or 8 years when she would be too ugly and too old to win. Now, of course, with the Bush re-election, Hillary will begin her run for the Democratic nomination immediately, though informally. She's already getting a boost from the New York Times, and a story in Thursday's edition, the paper began with, "The defeat of John Kerry has left Hillary Rodham Clinton as one of the most powerful elected officials in the National Democratic Party, as well as the top prospect for the presidential nomination in 2008. Now, they don't start promoting someone unless they're privy to the powers that be and what they are planning. Now, of course, I projected that when Time Magazine put Rudolph Giuliani on the cover of Time Magazine in 2001 as the man in the year, that was an indication that they were going to promote him as a presidential candidate. And he's being talked about, by the way, for a cabinet position, possibly to replace John Ashcroft, who's had some health problems, is looking to resign. There's several other cabinet positions that are looking to resign in the Bush administration. Tom Ridge, our terrorist, anti-terrorism czar or pro-terrorism czar, depending on how you look at the government's efforts. These people really do sacrifice one thing by working in these high positions. They are high positions in terms of power, but not in terms of money. These people can make huge six-figure salaries, getting on the speaking circuit if they leave government. And so there's every indication that Tom Ridge is going to be leaving, so is John Ashcroft. Colin Powell is probably going to be fired. He's been on the outs with the Bush administration for all during this time. He has to be corrected almost monthly because the statements he makes in public don't happen to be, the neocon position of the Bush administration. And it appears as if he just hasn't been an insider long enough to be able to parrot the proper party line. So it appears as if Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor, is going to step into Secretary of State. Rumors are that she wants Donald Rumsfeld's job as Secretary of Defense, which is nearly laughable. She was a lightweight as National Security Director, wasn't anywhere near in the class of Strobe Talbot, Zbigniew Brzezinski, George Shultz, Henry Kissinger, or Brent Scowcroft. Those people were second-level people, in my opinion, in the globalist conspiracy, who really truly were the handlers of the president that they were operating with. Condoleezza Rice is not in that position with George Bush. She's kind of like a person in training, almost an embarrassment when she gets on the television. She's such an inveterate yes woman, defending President Bush even when she should be hedging her bets and saying, yeah, he probably made a mistake there. But she is such an inveterate yes woman that she's lost a lot of credibility and isn't getting a lot of opportunities to speak by the media. So there's going to be some changes, Stan. I think in foreign policy, it's going to be more antagonism in the world, but I think they're going to nuance this a little more. They'll talk up the United Nations more. It's this kind of a dual strategy that the globalists use. They move out unilaterally at first in order to antagonize the world. Then they talk up the United Nations and bring them in after they've attacked a country in order to talk up one world government. And so they play both sides of the fence. The conservatives cheer when they go against the United Nations. It just happens to be that they're, you know, cheering against the United Nations ends up making them for the intervention, unilateral intervention, which then antagonizes the rest of the world. So conservatives truly, I think, have been manipulated, not only in this election, but by the very foreign policies and domestic policies that President Bush is presenting.
Well, I certainly agree with you. The conservatives are the ones who backed the war in Vietnam. Actually, of course, why would you back a no-win war that you weren't trying to win? And I think this is exactly what's going on as far as Iraq is concerned. Are we trying to win it? Well, if we were trying to win it, we never would have dissolved the Iraqi army after promising not to. We never would have dissolved the Iraqi police force, and then we wonder why we have chaos over there. I think that they do not want to bring peace because they brought peace. How would we justify staying there? And we intend to stay, in my opinion. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. There's no question the United States intends to stay with all of the 14 military bases that they're building. There's no way they're going to walk away from that kind of investment. This is like having a huge aircraft carrier right in the middle of the Middle East. And they have other countries that they're going to be attacking. I suspect that the attack on Syria or Iran or both will occur during this next Bush term. Speaking and going back to Vietnam, I think Vietnam is in a different category than the two Iraq wars that we fought. Vietnam, it is true, was run by the globalists in a no-win war situation, but the actual justification for going war was correct, and that is there was a domino theory, which is correct, that the communists were marching through Southeast Asia and taking over the countries, and you had to hold the line and stop the communists. So the actual rationale for war was correct there. The threat was real of communist domination of Southeast Asia, and we know that they won that war, and they do have dominion over there. But the threat was not real in Iraq. It was conjured up by the Bush administration. So the two reasons are, in other words, I think conservatives were justified in supporting initially the rationale for the Vietnam War. When it became a no-win war, that wasn't the fault of conservatives. That, of course, was McNamara and the Kennedy CFR globalists that were in there trying to poison. And I think this is the reason for the Vietnam War, was to make it such a long, costly war that they would poison the American people against any wars of liberation in the name of the domino theory of communism. Now, this is a different one. This is a wars of liberation for democracy. And so Bush, of course, is touting that. The neocon strategy and the project for the new American century touts that as the reason why the United States has a right and a need to exercise hegemony around the world. I do think, by the way, that the PNAC report, Project for New American Century, is a piece of misinformation. It isn't... It is correct in the sense that they do intend to go out and attack the world, but it is not correct. It is disinformation that they're doing it for the purpose of creating democratic governments. They're doing it for the purpose of antagonizing the world to induce a retribution against the United States, which will result eventually in World War III.
All right, fine. And so I think that it's so vitally important that people understand that we've been lied to why we went over there. And I agree that we certainly did not go over there for any of the reasons that we've been told. Remember the slogan of the First World War? What was it? To make the world safe for democracy. And that's why we sent our boys over in the First World War. We wanted to make the world safe for democracy.
set, genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Roseto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, and of course we were talking about World War One. We sent our boys halfway around the world to fight. 125,000 American boys died in a totally useless war that would have been over in 1917 if we hadn't intervened. But you see, we had to intervene. Why? Because they wanted to have the world government. They wanted to get a lot of American boys killed so that the American people would be willing to go along with this idea of the world government. And the slogan the war to end all wars, the war to make the world safe for democracy. Well, First World War didn't do either one, didn't make the world safe for democracy, and of course didn't end all wars. In fact, when America certainly repudiated the idea of the League of Nations, why then the Second World War became inevitable, and that's why I think the Third World War is inevitable, because this is going to be used as the excuse to take us into this world government. We're dealing with evil people who send our boys to fight and die for reasons that they're never allowed to know, but oh, we can always justify it. Right now, of course, we have to bring democracy to the Middle East. So pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, the promise that they make, the lure or the bait, is the promise that there won't be any more wars if we simply have a world police agency with military powers. But along with those military powers and police powers come, of course, legal powers to restrict liberties. And that's not what what people are told. They're simply, you know, sold on the benefits of having world police power. Now, people have resisted that so far because the United States has become the de facto policeman of the world. People look to the United States to enforce international law. And in fact, the United States, unless they back it either financially or with major troops or military equipment, none of the world really has the power to do any policing or enforcement around the world whatsoever. And so we're slowly being drawn into the matrix of world government and slowly getting accustomed to doing things on an international level. But still, until the United States is removed as the de facto policeman of the world will not come to the conclusion that they, in fact, are part of world government in a way that has police powers. And so that's why it is my belief that the ultimate goal of the globalists in this foreign intervention that they're presently engaged in is to induce a retaliatory attack on the United States for all of this intervention, and I think that retaliatory attack will eventually come preemptively by the Russian-Chinese axis, the real axis of evil, and thus the United States will be removed, or our leaders will come out of their bunkers and say, the Russians deceived us, we thought that they were our allies, and now we have no choice but to join forces with the United Nations to fight this great evil, and they'll start championing another war. Now, I don't think that will come without a major trigger event, and it could come with either the Middle East, which is the most likely scenario, or in the Far East with either South Korea or Taiwan. Either one or both, in fact, could trigger World War III.
All right, fine. Well, I fear that you're right, but then, of course, as I've said many times, I believe also there's a spiritual element to this, because I believe God is going to bring judgment on America, and this is certainly one way of bringing his judgment upon this country that has turned away from him.
Well, I can't certainly disagree with that. The rationale, the reason is there. In fact, a lot of Christians don't understand why the Lord isn't already bringing the nation to judgment. And perhaps the Lord delays his hand to give people a chance to repent. He might be giving conservatives a chance to prepare for what's coming. Unfortunately, neither one are occurring. I don't think any repentance occurring. In fact, we can judge, I think, by the growth of homosexuality, as in Sodom and Gomorrah, when you get close to that time of major tribulation that comes from the Lord in consequence of these most heinous moral sins. And of course, immorality, even heterosexual immorality, is just as offensive to God, and that's also high on his list as well. Abortion, I think, is one of the most grievous sins that this nation is going to pay for with suffering and war someday. But in the same sense, or in the opposite sense, conservatives are, I'm afraid, not really doing what it takes to prepare, either to warn their neighbor about what's coming in line with what you so diligently sacrifice each day to help warn people. Our listening audience is growing, but I think it's small in comparison to what's out there. Most conservatives who voted and think George Bush is the savior of the nation are frankly asleep, more than willing to allow the Republicans to save them from whatever ails them in the world, and they're not willing to take responsibility themselves for the personal measures of security and self-sufficiency and preparation that are necessary. I think if World War III comes upon us, it's going to be a surprise. It's going to be a great shock. It's going to be famine for 2 to 3 years at least, not to mention the destruction of fallout, biological, and perhaps chemical warfare.
Well, that's on.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
In the world. They've discovered a secret recipe, and it allowed them to actually make the creamiest and most delicious fudge you're going to find anywhere. They also have a sugar-free type of fudge that has a great creamy taste and yet is safe for diabetics. The fudge is made daily, and there are over 30 to 40 different flavors in the store every single day. Midwest Fudge makes a perfect gift for any occasion and makes it even a better treat for you. It's shipped out daily, so you're always guaranteed the freshest fudge. So why not place your order by calling 866-526-5419. That's 866-526-5419. Or visit their website at www.worldfamousfudge.com. That's worldfamousfudge.com. Your order will be shipped out the next day. And, of course, they're open 7 days a week. Why don't you stop by and visit them there from 9 in the morning until 9 in the evening. This is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Joel Skousen. And Joel, before we go on, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and World Affairs Brief?
Well, the best way for those that have access to the Internet is to go to my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's www.worldaffairsbrief.com. There you can see all of the daily postings by my researchers. You can subscribe by clicking on the subscribe line. It's all done automatically for you. Via credit card. There's also a lot of background information from former past World Affairs Briefs. Last year's archives are free to the public, as well as all the former archives. It reads like a history book since 1999, and it's very instructive, I think, to go back and look at the identical type of globalist intervention that the Clinton administration was doing, the transition to the Bush administration, and why nothing changed. I also have background material on a lot of government cover-ups, everything from TW-800 to Oklahoma City bombing to the JFK assassination. So it's a fact-filled read for those that have access to the Internet. And for those that don't, there is a printed edition of the World Affairs Brief. They can get a free sample copy, courtesy of Genesis Communications, by calling toll-free 1-877-518-5888. That's 877-518-5888.
All right, fine. Well, of course, this is our guest this evening is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and I recommend his material to you, and I'd certainly go up on his webpage every day if I were you, and just go to worldaffairsbrief.com and read what the major articles are, and those that really interest you, I pull them down. So what are some of the other things you'd like to talk about this evening?
I'd like to go through some of the specifics on vote manipulation. There are various levels, Stan, that they engaged in. The first level is to limit the Democratic candidates who would have presented a greater threat to George W. Than John Kerry. They were not allowed to run. I think they sabotaged the candidacy of Howard Dean, who was a much more dynamic candidate, could have gone head-to-head with George Bush or exceeded him in personality and viability with the public. But the powers that be really wanted Bush reelected, and they needed a flawed Democratic candidate who could be beaten. Kerry appeared to be a good choice on the surface, but the liabilities, I mean, except for his, you know, his Vietnam track record, which made him extremely vulnerable to patriotic conservatives and independents. But, you know, the liabilities of George Bush, his one-track, blustering, air-prone personality, falsifying the reasons for going to war, those kinds of liabilities still made it very difficult for him to win single-handedly. And so that's why they trotted out Ralph Nader again to pull off additional votes away from Kerry. This is the same thing they did in Al Gore's presidency. It's the same thing they did with the Reform Party to pull off votes from George Bush Sr. You know, if the powers that be who are liberal and leftists, according to conservatives in the press, if they really wanted Kerry to win, they would have simply given a significant amount of airtime to the Libertarian and Constitution Party candidates, which then would have drawn votes away from Bush. But nary a word was ever uttered about these two principal third parties. Even the Christian Coalition refused to list the Conservative Party as a candidate for president. Michael Perutka is a devout Christian who ran on a pro-Constitution, pro-Christian platform, and the Christian Coalition literally refused to give him any mention. I mean, they didn't even have to promote him, but he wasn't even listed, so that Christians who rely, and millions of Christians rely on their recommendations, were diverted away from the Constitution Party to the Bush campaign. But in the end, not even the Nader sabotage campaign was enough to ensure a Bush win. As some had feared would happen with electronic voting, there appears to be ample evidence of misuse of this new form of voting to skew the results toward President Bush. Now, this was easy to do when the powers that be control the people behind the two major companies that provide voting machines to the states. For example, Walden O'Dell, the CEO of Diebold Corporation, the largest of the two, is a Republican fundraiser. And that doesn't make him dishonest in itself, but Diebold's history of secretive software changes and lack of openness when the state governments have tried to investigate what they've been doing with this software makes this company very suspect. Now, some of the manipulation, as I've researched this for today's brief, was very blatant, such as voting and voters in some precincts complained that touchscreens sometimes registered their vote for Kerry as they voted for Bush. There was virtually no report of the opposite mistake happening. One county's voter computer already had votes for Bush in memory before the voting began. Another county in Ohio had all its votes disappear from memory so that it had no votes recorded whatsoever. They just lost it all by some mistake. It happened to be a liberal county, which would have gone for Kerry. But the more common methods were much more subtle, tweaking the Bush percentages directly within the computer software, but only doing so in close races where it wouldn't be noticeable or provable. And if you have time, Dr. Stan, we can go through some of the states where this happened.
Go right ahead. We've got plenty of time.
Now, once again, as I say, this did not happen in states where they didn't bother trying to skew the computers in states that Bush was already winning. But here's what you look at. The exit polls in most of the states were within a percentage point, of the actual voter outcome. That demonstrates that exit polling is very, very accurate. I mean, this is where you actually talk to people coming right out of the voting booth and you ask them, who did you vote for? It's like a second ability to register the vote. For example, in Arizona, now these are states in which the tracking was right on, where there wasn't any manipulation. Now, Arizona's a state that's going to go for Bush. The poll showed a 45 for Kerry and 55% for Bush. The end result was 44 and 55. In Colorado, another state that was going for Bush, polls were showing, exit polls were showing 46 to 53, and the actual results were 46 to 53. Louisiana, they were within one percentage point. Michigan, right on the money. New Mexico, they were within one percentage point. In Maine, they were within one percentage point. In Nevada, they were within one percentage point. Now, in the states that were battleground states, however, where Bush was in a very, very tight race with Kerry, we find a significant divergence, and they're always upwards, giving Bush about a 5% increase. For example, the polls in Wisconsin were showing Kerry 51 and Bush 46. The final vote was 50 and 49. Now, there's a 3% difference for Bush. That didn't happen to win the state for Bush, but it was obvious that someone was trying to tweak the vote electronically. In Pennsylvania, you had polls indicating a 53 to 46% Kerry winning, and in fact, he barely won with a 51 to 49. In Ohio, the most important of the battleground states, the final exit polls showed Kerry winning 51% to 49. It was exactly reversed in the final vote, 49 to 51. And that's a skewing of 2 percentage points up for Bush and 2 down for Kerry. In Florida, the exit polls were showing Kerry winning 51 to 49. That was reversed in the final results of Kerry getting 47 to Bush's 52, so that was a manipulation of 5%. In Minnesota, exit polls were showing Kerry winning 54 to 44. Final vote, 51% for Kerry and 48 for Bush, so there was a manipulation of 4 points in Bush's favor and 3 down for Kerry. That's a total of 7. You see, what I'm trying to point out is that these types of percentage mismatches just don't follow the pattern in most of the other states. They're only happening in the battleground states, and they were only causing errors in favor of Bush. Now, the media reacted with this by saying, oh, the liberals are trying to swing the election for Kerry. Well, if they were trying to swing the election for Kerry, why weren't they manipulating the exit polls in all the other states? Why is it they were only supposedly manipulated in the battleground states? But in fact, the same companies that were doing exit polls in other states were doing the polls in the battleground states, so there's very little justification for the idea that the exit polls were erroneous. In fact, the exit polls in this case, I believe, are more reliable than the vote counts because of these high mismatches in percentages.
Well, I wouldn't put anything past them at all. I think that, of course, the whole thing is to give the American people the feeling that we pick our president, whereas, of course, he's really not picked by us. It's picked by the secret societies, and they gave us a choice between two candidates. Both of them came from the same secret society, and until people realize that there really are people out there who control the media, who control both political parties, and ultimately control what the American people think, and can manipulate the elections any way they want to, and they've done this for years, and why we're not going to be able to get back to a free society.
Absolutely. I think it's very important to understand that as long as conservatives look to Bush as their solution to their problems rather than the Constitution and a platform of principles, no matter how unpopular it is with the majority of benefit-corrupted Americans, we're not going to win. And as long as the Kerry supporters think that things would be different under John Kerry, we're not going to win either. I mean, I was hoping that if Kerry won, at least the liberals would begin to see that nothing changes, that he would continue to intervene, that he would continue, he would not repeal the Patriot Act, he would not do any of the things that differently than Bush did. But then again, I thought better, and I thought, well, no, the media will massage the message so that they won't get that message and they won't think out of the box. They wouldn't be any more scrutinizing of Kerry than the conservatives are scrutinizing of Bush.
Well, I was disappointed that there were not more votes for Michael Perutka and for the Libertarian than there were. Do you have any idea how many votes they got?
No, I've had, you know, they've had real trouble because virtually none of the networks, ABC News, controlled all of the polling results, and they refused to tell what the third parties were getting. They just didn't report any of it at all, not even at my state level. So we're still in the dark trying to find, so is the Constitution Party trying to find out. Now, we suspect that it's at least as much as they got last time, which was about 380,000. I suspect that they're probably closer to 500,000 because there are more disaffected conservatives. But I'm not sure we'll know because it's just very hard to get this information.
And, Chris, I think it was just so amazing that with the total control of the media, they just never mentioned the real conservative parties during the entire thrust of the election. That is, of course, I think a very, very good talking point, which we must use. We must point out that there were alternatives to George Bush. I think that there are a lot of people who didn't like George Bush, but they certainly couldn't stand John Kerry, and so they voted for George Bush. Had they known that there was an alternative, they may just very well have voted for him. But, of course, if they control what you hear and what you read and what you see, they control your reality. And that is the frightening thing of the media monopoly that exists today.
Well, that's one of the prime pieces of evidence that bolsters my contention that the media is actually a part of a globalist conspiracy, not a left-wing conspiracy. They happen to be left-wing, but so are globalists. But the fact that they, if they were purely hardcore leftists, they would have fought against the Bush campaign by promoting a Perutka Constitutional Party campaign or the Bednarik Libertarian campaign. But there was not a word said, and that proves that they were following an agenda that was not trying to get Bush unelected, but in fact was supporting Bush while still placating their leftist constituency. By playing up to Kerry, but not enough to cause Bush to lose.
Well, my concern is, of course, it really wouldn't matter whether we had Bush or Kerry in there. As far as the economy is concerned, we are in real trouble. An interesting article on the front page of the New York Times for the last couple of days about some woman who had lost her job in North Carolina at a textile plant and had to take a job that paid $3 an hour plus tips. $3 an hour plus tips, maybe $6, $7 an hour. And I think that what this article was saying is the living standards of the American people are going to come down. You better get used to it. And I think this was a Plant article. I think it was there. $3 an hour? I mean, that isn't even minimum wage. And yet, of course, I think we're going to see more and more people taking any job at all, because even $3 an hour plus tips is better than no dollars an hour.
Well, that's right, and a lot of people who talk about, you know, minimum wage should be a living wage don't understand that a fairly large minority of workers in the United States do not need a living wage. In other words, that they are working for extra dollars, they live in share housing conditions. Now, that isn't to say that that's the ideal, but that's how you work up in society. I think it's important to have substandard housing, to have substandard wages, because people who lack skills, who lack experience, at least can go make some money while they're proving themselves, and then they will go ahead. That's one of the reasons why one of the most important economic statistics in the United States is the fact that the top 80% of wage earners, when they started out in life, were in the lower 20%. And that shows that there is a tremendous amount of mobility within society. I mean, you yourself, Dr. Stan, I don't think you were born with a golden spoon in your mouth. You had to work your way up. You became a medical doctor. And you probably were in the top 80% when you finished your career in life. I am as well. But we started out dirt poor, and others can do that too. You know, leftists and liberals talk about the statistics about the divergence between how many total poor is versus how many rich, but that isn't the issue. The issue is how many of the poor over their lifetime go from poor to rich. And that's the highest statistic in the world is here in the United States of people who go from poor to rich during their lifetime. Because of the ability to transition, if you get a proper education and you work hard and you have high moral standards, you can move ahead, even despite the amount of socialism that we have in our land.
Well, we still have the greatest country in the world, and we have to do everything we can to preserve it. But people have to understand that this country will only be the land of the free as long as it is still the home of the brave. And when there aren't enough people who have the courage to take a stand for what's right, then we will lose America.
And that's part of a moral judgment in which I think Americans and even conservatives are losing. They're losing the will to make a no-compromise stand on principle, which, these compromises we've made for candidates voting for the lesser of two evils never gets us any further ahead. We have more socialism. We have more government control every year under conservative presidencies. And as I said, I think that is why they wanted George Bush reelected.
Well, I think that Michael Prudka had a great line: "You'll never get what you really want unless you vote for what you believe in." So,
right.
Anyway, thanks very much for being with us. Why don't you get your telephone number out just one more time?
Yes, toll free 877-518-5888 for a free copy of the World Affairs Brief.
Thank you so very much. We'll look forward to having you with us again next week.
Thank you, Stan.
Bye bye.
Set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just remind you, we do carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water filters, and I think this is a great thing to have in case there was an emergency. You are going to need an alternative source of water, and of course, the Big Berkey has been used for well over 100 years by missionaries throughout the world, and it'll take out the bacteria and cryptosporidium and so many of the herbicides and pesticides and the other things, and give you very, very potable water. Now, I have to warn you that the Big Berkey is not available here in California because of some bureaucrat doesn't like it. But of course, the Berkey Light is. Now, the Berkey Light is made of Lexan, so you can actually see the water level. Instead of having four ceramic filters, it has two filters that we call them black Berkey filters. And of course, they do even a better job of cleaning up your water than the ceramic filters do. The ceramic filters, however, can be cleaned repeatedly, so they'll last much longer. The black Berkey filters have to be replaced every 2 to 3 years. Now, if you have fluoride, if you have arsenic in your drinking water, you have to get some special post filters for either one of the two, either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, and they simply screw on the bottom, and they have to be replaced about every 6 months, but they will give you excellent water. They will take your fluoride out, and I really don't know any other way to get the fluoride out of your water other than perhaps to distill it. So if you would like to either get more information on this or to purchase either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, or certainly give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we truly are at war today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time I just need to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day. We hope that many of you will want to be listening this evening when we have Pastor Joe Schimmel on with us for a two-hour program. And, of course, if you're going to be listening on shortwave, why, you can listen to our evening program, which is 8 to 10 Pacific, 11 to 1 Eastern Time, or you have to figure out what part of the country you're in. And, of course, that's going to be heard at 7.535. And that's the number we're on our shortwave right now. However, there's a second station, that's Angel 1, you're listening to at 7.535. At Angel 2, the first hour is 5835, that's 5.835 megahertz. And, of course, the second hour is 5.970. That's 5.970. They've done it again. They've simply changed our frequencies at the last minute. And, of course, if you know people out there who can't find us, why, tell them about the new frequencies. And the evening has two different frequencies, one 7.535, and then, of course, for the first hour and the second hour are different frequencies altogether. If you didn't get them down, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, or go up on the internet, and there you'll be able to get the frequencies for our shortwave. Please tell other people about our programs. Tell other people, certainly, about our internet site, where they can pull down our newsletters and read them, where they can hear our archive programs, where they can look at some of the items that we carry, because we carry the Berkey products. And if you buy a big Berkey or Berkey Light through us, why, you'll get a free video or four-tape set as a reward for getting them through us. And then, of course, we want to remind you about Pastor Schimmel's excellent video. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, either the 4 or the 10-hour version. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Schimmel will be one of our speakers tomorrow. There may be room for one or two more people at the program, but you would have to call 1-800-544-8927. We really can't have people just showing up at the door if we have no idea, because we've already ordered a certain number of lunches, and I think we may be able to take one or two more people, but that's all. So if you're interested in coming, 1-800-544-8927, but you're going to have to call this evening, because, of course, we are going to be out there starting early tomorrow morning. It's going to be a fascinating time, and for all those who are coming, I think you're really going to enjoy it. So if you have not yet seen Pastor Schimmel's videos, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, you need to get that. You need to get my video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, along with a video. You need to get my video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and that comes with a syllabus. You can get it by itself. And then there's so many other tape sets out there. We have a great new tape set on Operation Paperclip. Nobody else has anything like it. That's Operation Paperclip, and you need to understand how it was at the end of the Second World War, with all these vicious Nazis that carried out these terrible experiments. Why, of course, many of those Nazis were brought to the United States to continue carrying on their terrible experiments. But even worse than that, 10,000 Nazis were allowed to escape to South America, actually helped by the CIA to escape to South America. They were helped by British intelligence and the CIA to escape to South America. Adolf Eichmann, Klaus Barbie, Joseph Mengele, Martin Bormann, and 10,000 others. And we've even seen a video with Sam Donaldson did, where he actually went down to South America and talked to many of them. And we hope one of these days to have that video available for you. But I can tell you, there's no question, why would the CIA help those Nazis? But then why are we doing so many of the incredible things we're doing today? Why are we helping to build up both Russia and China in preparation for the next war? Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.